Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Transportation System.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Double Dose of Disney podcast. As always, my name is Brittany and I am joined here by my festival-loving husband, Tony, and as a bonus, Bentley is with us.
Say hi, Ben. She'll say hi, Ben Simcher. Yeah, the fans, entertaining.
Yeah. The girls were taking a nap and Bentley woke up, so we were like, you're doing the podcast with us. When you're headed to Walt Disney World, there's so most likely will be a festival taking place at Epcot, whether it's Festival of the Arts, Food and Wine Festival, Festival of the Holidays, or Flower and Garden Festival. Epcot has a festival going on most days of the year, but last week, February 28th, Flower and Garden Festival kicked off, and it's going to be running now through May 27th. This is always the festival that we have most wanted to go to, and we're so excited because we're planning to go back to Disney World in May, and so we'll finally get to visit it. So today, in celebration of the start of festival of Flower and Garden Festival, we're breaking down all there is to do, sharing the outdoor kitchen menus, and going over the items we can't wait to try. You
yeah,
ready?
Most of the time, we're at Farks. Festival of the Arts.
Yeah, we're at Festival of the Arts, like, or we've been to Food and Wine.
Man, we never get to experience this one. And this one, I don't know. Arts has a lot of... They each have their own unique things.
Mm-hmm.
This one just has a lot of, like, I think more, like, picture posing type of places. Like, you know, all the topiaries we're talking about. Like, things like that where you can take pictures next to. And, like, Festival of Arts has, like, more booths, I think. And kind of, like, you know, vendors and...
Yeah. Yeah, Festival of the Arts is like a celebration of what the performing arts, the culinary arts, and the visual arts. So they do have like some interactive stuff, but you're right. Like I think we've always wanted to go to this because I am fascinated by the topiaries. I had made a reel on it a long time ago. I used to do like Disney Secrets reels on Instagram sometimes. And I would research things for like a day or so. And the topiaries at Disney that they use at Epcot, like they're grown for years and they're kept in a greenhouse. And I just think that that's so amazing. So that's something that I'm really excited to see.
So getting into it, because that's our first time.
Okay.
Instead of getting into it before we get into it.
Yeah, getting into it, you know.
So we're already there. We're there.
Yeah. So at festival.
On that same note, do they have the actual little stat? I mean, how is it? How are they made? You know?
No, so they're made in a greenhouse and they have like obviously there's like a shaping to it.
So it's like a metal mold of yes. each character, and then they lay over probably like the greenery like something
uh-huh.
like the how they're probably like sheets.
Yeah, they lay over greenery, and supposedly during the festival, like things will get fuller or like flowers will bloom more and stuff like that. So kind of as the festival goes on, they get even better. And then they take them back to that greenhouse and they keep them alive for like the year to come. So
if you don't know, like Disney, like they're doing this like daily.
Right.
So if like something looks brown, it ain't staying.
Right.
Like it's getting swapped out overnight.
Yeah, there's exactly. Disney does so much detail to everything. Like if there are flowers that die and there's these big flower beds in Epcot all around everywhere. And if there's flowers that die, Disney will send the horticulture team out to replace those flowers like that day so that they're fresh and new for the next
like
day.
Like they paint their, you know, they paint things overnight and magic right. like they're putting flowers out daily. Like,
yeah.
There ain't nothing to look dead out. You know, like, not picture-worthy at Disney.
Well, and it's getting trimmed and all of those things. So, yeah, like, everything's getting pruned.
Night Shift got that one covered.
True. So, there's 29 topiaries in total. There's a couple from there's one from Disney Wish, which I think is interesting because that movie just came out. But there's also, like, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Mickey and the Fab Five, Buzz Lightyear, Simba and Friends... Bambi and Friends. There's so many different ones. There's Tiana, there's dragons, and they kind of are themed to be like Buzz Lightyear is in front of Mission Space. So that kind of makes sense, you know, because he's in that area. So they kind of theme them to the area where like you would find them at.
One thing I did not see, and it's probably always ever changing, is like the photo pass photographers being in those areas.
Oh, that's
like,
true.
I don't know, like, if they're always, like, I'm sure they're not all, you know, there's 29?
Yeah, there's 29.
There's no way they're sitting there all day long, but, like, if there's anyone near these, but, like, each one could be its own, like, that's what I think of it. Like, you get a
photo op.
A different picture you'll probably never have again.
That's true.
Like, you can only take so many pictures of the castle. You can find the castle. These ones are probably always different. Like getting into favorite ones, like that, you know, the Groot. And I was just looking at the picture of it. Even though 90% of it is not flowers, it's actually like a statue covered.
And that one's brand new for this year. New.
It's still really cool.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
It looks like it's right in front of the ride-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah, the Groot statue, I think it has to be like right in front of the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
I think it says Greenhouse Mix Volume 1.
Oh, that's cool. The tape he's
holding. So these are just like cool photo ops. Like pick five of these ones that go see and like something you're not going to do again.
Well, remember when we were at Disney last time, there were photo pass photographers that were just kind of moving around the parks. I would imagine that's how it is at Epcot. Obviously, since it's their first time going during Flower and Garden Festival, I keep wanting to say Festival of the Arts. Flower and Garden Festival, we'll learn that. Like, at Festival of the Arts, do you feel like the photo pass photographers, they're pretty much always in the same spots at Festival of the Arts, right?
Every time, I mean, I feel like the ones I notice at Magic Kingdom, they're always in the same spots.
True. Hollywood Studios, they were in very different places.
I think they have they probably give them a range, like, stay around this area.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless there's, like, the Walt statue, they're obviously staying there.
That's true. Which, do you have any topiaries that you were, like, super excited to see?
Well, that was one. And then
the Groot.
Coco's has a new one by Mexico Pavilion. But there was, where is it at? Always Goofy.
Yeah.
Walkway Between Imagination and World Showcase. And then, obviously, Simba and Friends.
Yeah.
Near Land Pavilion. Because we gotta take one with the girls. We'll hold them up. Because
that's how they said. Oh, that would be so cute.
That's what they're doing, is holding up Simba.
That would be so cute.
And
yeah.
We'll put the birth picture of, I think it's Hanley when the doctor is holding her up.
Yeah.
Put all three of those together.
Yeah, that would be so cute. Yeah, the girls' nursery theme. If you don't know, we have identical twin girls. They're almost 4 months right now. We took them to Disney World last month when they were 3 months. We'll be back in a couple of months. But their nursery is Lion King themed. So it says Hakuna Matata on the wall. So yeah, obviously we have to do the Simba one. I think I've always wanted to see the Huey, Dewey, and Louie topiaries. I think those are cute. I love the Tiana one. I had never seen Princess and the Frog until recently. So I think that'll be fun to see. I'm really excited to see them. In addition to the topiaries, there's also the Global Gardens, which Disney says they celebrate the way we can live in harmony with the natural world. Everything from prehistoric plants, butterfly landings, topiary heritage gardens, which kind of help you understand how Disney's horticulture team creates the festival's topiaries. Those are going to be sprinkled like throughout Epcot as well. They're going to be in different areas. A lot of them are like in World Showcase. I'm sorry. That was like in World Celebration. And then there's like there's floating gardens on the water and things like that. I think that'll be really cool to see too.
So at the end of the day, these are basically glorified flower beds that Disney calls a different name.
Yes, but the butterfly garden,
I have a lot of hidden Mickeys in
the butterfly garden. I am super, super, super excited to see. Yeah, it's a walkthrough butterfly garden. I think that one will be really cool. There's also the one that's like the prehistoric plants. Like that one's near like Mission Space. There's like a honeybee thing that it doesn't have like it's. I mean, I don't know what Disney does to like prevent honeybees from. I've never seen a bee at Disney, but actually, yeah, I have it. Animal Kingdom.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar water.
So they have like an area that's like a honeybee garden that kind of is supposed to help like attract honeybees to keep them like in population and stuff like that. I'm excited to see the butterfly garden, and I think the prehistoric plants would be cool.
Funny to my, that's not imagination. Just thinking about it, it's funny. Things like this in your hometown, you would never in your entire life even give the time. You wouldn't even look at a post on Facebook or something. Any of this. When we go to Disney. Did you know that they release butterflies in this garden that all year long in the same park? And like,
no,
it's ridiculous.
You want to know something I'm really excited to see too? So like,
we're paying us a lot of money to see.
In addition to like the butterfly garden and stuff, I don't know if I said there's 28 global gardens in total, but they have one garden in front of each of like the international pavilions. And our friend Meg, Magical Meg, if you don't watch her on YouTube, you should. She has like such fun Disney content. You just feel like you're with Meg every time she's vlogging. But anyway, Meg went to Flower and Garden last year with her parents, and they were talking about, I think it was, it's the bonsai garden or the bamboo garden. Either way, they're like these really cool gardens that make use of water displays and stuff like that, and are all just surrounding the country. So I think that's really cool too.
Yeah, just like the topiaries, I never really pay attention to because we've never been.
Right.
But they like typical Disney, they keep adding new ones every year. Obviously, yeah. They have the new Guardians, right? So they add like, you know, so there's always new stuff. It's like photo ops and just like, you know, like we always talk about, no matter what we're talking about in our episodes, like if you're not like doing new stuff or looking at all the details, like that's half of what Disney is.
Right.
So you're missing like the work put in, the imagination, like the, you know, everything.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and I, like you said, I mean, there's just so much detail. And I think that that's what this...
helps you slow down.
Right. And I think that's what this festival will be so cool for us to see. One thing too, when we were at Epcot last month? Were we there? Almost a month ago. We were there last month. Anyway, when we were at Epcot last month, we were over where Figment's Inspiration Place. You know what I'm talking about. Indoor building. Next, we were at the Baby Care Center, and we were looking across the water, and there's those flower gardens there. And I said, "Oh, look, there's already a flower in place," because Disney was kind of already like putting flowers in the flower bed, so they make it to the shape of. There's a ton of flowers, and they make it to the shape of a flower. But like I said, I think something that'll be really cool is we're going kind of toward the end of the festival since we'll be there in May. What will be cool is to see like. We've seen video online, we've seen photos online of what things look like now, but to see what it looks like then will be really cool to see how it's like grown and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's everything we haven't seen before.
Exactly.
That's because we enjoy no matter how many times we see Festival of the Arts, and a lot of it's the same.
Right.
And we still appreciate it all.
Yeah. But
that's kind of the whole point of Disney, is like when you see new things.
Yeah.
New openings, new, you know, so that's what... something completely new and just have a slow day more than we already are now with kids.
True. No, that's true. And I think that'll be something to enjoy with the kids because it'll allow us to go slower. So each of the Epcot festivals always has like some type of concert series or some type of like evening event. At Festival of the Holidays, it's of course the Candlelight Processional. But at Flower and Garden Festival, it's the Garden Rocks concert series. So each evening, now through May 27th, you're able to listen to globally recognized artists, talented local acts performing in the American Gardens Theater. The showtimes are at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. The bands for this are like bands like the Pointer Sisters, Joni Messina, Simple Plan, Casting Crowns. There's also, if there's a band that you really want to see and you don't want to miss the opportunity to see them, there's also the Garden Rocks dining package. So what you can do is you can book dining at one of the following locations and then you'll receive reserved seating for the show. So you can eat at Akershus Royal Banquet Hall, Beer Garden Restaurant, Coral Reef, Garden Grill, La Cellier, Rose and Crown, Spicer Table. And then, so like I said, when you book it, you can book it for like, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whichever, wherever the locations are available at. And then at all of the locations other than Spicer Table, you're going to receive an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. Or if it's Akershus Royal Banquet Hall, which is a buffet, you get a full buffet. At Spicer Table, you would get two small plates, a shared tagine, which is like a group dish, basically, and then a shared dessert platter, and you get non-alcoholic beverages at all of those locations. And then, like I said, you have reserved seating for the show, so you don't have to make sure to get there early. Also, if you want to do like a same-day dining package, let's say you get to Disney and you're like, I want to go eat, I want to have the dining package, but it's booked up, you can always make a reservation at Regal Eagle Smokehouse if those are available. For this show, or for this festival, I feel like the performers, not that they're not like, oh my gosh.
No, not downing this because we actually like, we're always like, we want to sit here for a full one. We kind of cruise through.
Right.
You don't have to like sit in there. You can kind of stand in the back and grab a beer or whatever and just kind of hang out for a couple songs or something. But a lot of these, there are a lot of people who kind of like are on the outs. They're just like,
yeah.
They don't do much anymore. But there's like, you can get a lot of your favorite like bands that you haven't seen in you know, a long time. Look at Crowder. It's in, looking in April, May. It's looking like with some.
If we were there, I would want to see Jody Messina.
Element, Sister Hazel, Lit, Casting Crowns. It just ones like, you know, they're not headliners that are touring currently across right. the country on the top 10 Billboard, you know, whatever. Richard yeah. Mars, I don't know who that is.
The Berlin, ones, so the ones for Springfield. At Festival of the Arts, it's always going to be like, it's a live on Broadway concert series. So you're going to have like Broadway performers. So there's like Lion King, people that are on Broadway for Lion King or Aladdin or Tarzan or different things like that. We really wanted to go see Lion King and Tarzan when we were there, but we just didn't stay in the parks that late.
At the same time, it's like, this is something you already paid for. You're not right, paying that's what I'm for saying. A concert ticket. So, like, these are still people who are, like, you know, well-known.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, that's another thing that I think I'd be able to take for granted. Like, oh, it's just this. Well, guess what? It's already paid for. You're not even paying for this concert. Like,
yeah, like, during...
Just show up and hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, like, during Food and Wine Festival, like, Joey Fatone was there, or Lance Bass, or the boy, Hanson, or... Boys to Men, like the bands like that. This one is, like you said, it's a little bit different, but either way, like that's what I've always been amazed by is like you're getting a concert ticket with your park ticket. So I think that's a really good deal.
Yeah, it's, I mean, plan your day at least just to drive by and hear a couple songs just because you're not going to get all, like you will get a lot of that in Epcot, but like this is just to kind of another level, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like a mini, well, it is a concert, mini concert, whatever you want to classify it, but it's well, worth stopping it.
Yeah, and what's cool with this one is I feel like because they are, like, Simple Plan, Simple Plan is
I love Simple Plan in the kitchen, you know what I mean?
Simple
Plan.
Simple Plan is playing when we're going to be there, and the cool thing about it is there's, I don't feel like there's going to be enough hype with any of these shows that you have to get there super early, you know?
No, like the, what was the NSYNC guys?
Right, like the Joey Fatone and stuff like that.
Maybe it's like that. Early. Yeah, you got the fangirls and you got a half a mile long line, so you have to for those. But most of these ones, not really.
True.
Yeah, you can probably walk right in.
That's what you think too, Bentley?
Yeah, Bentley says, yeah, man.
Bentley's always in for live music, any type of stimulation, she's in for it.
Yeah, fans and lights, let's go.
Yeah. Okay, so in addition to the Garden Rocks concert series, what we are all here for are the outdoor kitchens. So there are 22 festival booths at this festival that are serving up food and drinks. These locations, as a side note, typically open at about 11 a.m. or later. So if you're planning on going to Epcot and eating through the festival booths, don't plan to get there at 9 a.m. and start enjoying the festival booths. They won't open till 11. When we were there last month, it was a little bit after 11, I guess, when they started opening.
Once we noticed, like, we were there at 11, not expecting to just eat everything or whatever. Just
right.
Walking through a lot of, we're going to hang out some of the, you know,
pavilions.
The back pavilions. And some of them do open right at 11. I would say over half of them just kind of between 11 and 12. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it depends on like we were there on like a Tuesday or something like that. So maybe it depends on like the
Monday.
Day. Yeah. Like, it depends on the day. If it's on a Friday or weekend, maybe it's, like, they open a little bit sooner. But, you ready to go? So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the festival booths, and then I'll read off the menu items, and we'll say...
Highlight some ones, like, and then, because I was thinking about it, like, Disney, you know the stuff, they kind of, like, they do pretty good, and there's some things that you know, it's kind of like, I wouldn't really, you know...
Right.
Wouldn't probably get that one at Disney. You roll a dice, but chances are it's kind of,
So we'll, yeah.
We're out there and see what we like. We want to highlight for the what we would get.
Yeah. So we'll go through each of them, talk about which ones we want to get. None of these menus have the pricing with them, but if you are someone who has the Disney dining plan, all of these menu items, the food items, are going to be a snack credit on the dining plan. That can be a really good use of like your dining or of your snack credits during your vacation, just to save them all for Epcot and use them on the dining credits. You, of course, can't use beverages for snacks on the dining plan, especially like if they're alcoholic beverages. You may be able to use some of them for non-alcoholic beverages. And as a side note, One of my friends, Gina, who does gluten-free Disney World, I'll tag her on our stories on Instagram. She has an entire festival guide for if you are eating gluten-free or if you're eating dairy-free, because Disney doesn't have those things notated on the festival menus. Ready?
Let's do it. Outdoor kitchens in Disney. In Disney terms, it's not a food booth.
not a festival booth.
It's an outdoor kitchen.
Okay, first up is Brunchcot. This is located near Test Track. They have avocado toast with marinated tomatoes and plant-based cheese crumbles on toasted ciabatta. They also have biscuits and gravy with impossible chicken fried steak and impossible sausage gravy, or fried cinnamon roll bites with cream cheese frosting and candy bacon. They also have a Fruit Loop shake that's non-alcoholic, a peach Bellini, and a coffee cocktail, which is Joffrey's coffee, milk, vodka, vanilla vodka, Kahlua rum, and coffee liqueur. Are you in on any of those?
Obviously, avocado toast, you gotta try no matter where you're at, no matter what it is. So that's probably the one I would go for.
Yeah.
I mean, I've tried impossible stuff, and
we just don't like it.
At first, it sounds good, it tastes alright, but I would do avocado toast on that one.
Yeah, I mean, avocado toast isn't gluten-free, but if I'm on vacation, I'd be plant-based cheese every once in
a
while,
and it doesn't taste a whole lot different, so that one I think you can get away with, but you start getting in, for me, all the meat, it just
different. I heard that the plant-based cheese tastes like coconut, which I don't
know. I'm out.
Tony's not a coconut fan.
None of them.
The avocado toast looks amazing. Like, the presentation of it looks amazing and everything. It's not on gluten-free bread, but I would probably have a bite of Tony's if he was eating
it. Scratch that. Never mind. I would do the fried cinnamon roll bites.
I figured you would. Whenever I saw these menus, I was like, you would get that.
Yeah, that's actually what I would get.
Okay. Next one, Epcot Farmer's Feast. This one is also located by Test Track. So this one has a menu that changes. I don't know what the menu is going to be for the rest of the festival. When you're at Epcot, you can see what the menu is going to be for the rest of the festival, but it's not listed here. So the early bloom menu is going on now through March 30th. It's a veal loin with spring pea risotto featuring Ben's Original international grains, rice, and red wine syrup. I didn't know how to say that. Arborio rice and red wine syrup. There's also a strawberry rhubarb upside down cake with cream fraichet whipped cream. I probably butchered that. And there is the mainstay of this booth throughout the entire festival is going to be grilled street corn on the cob with savory garlic spread and plant-based cheese. They, for the beverages, there's a hibiscus lemonade cocktail featuring Isla Mirada Brewery and Distillery hibiscus gin and a frozen lemon tea cocktail with Behringer honey and bourbon.
So are we sticking more to food on this one?
We can do both.
Anything. The corn on the cob, I would personally, it's probably decent, it's probably good. Just judging by how Disney does corn that we've had in the past.
At Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. Because it's new, I would still try it. I would do the veal tenderloin.
I would do the veal loin too.
I feel like it's hard to screw up.
Yeah.
I mean, tenderloin is not something like, it's not like a carne asada where you gotta really, true. I don't know. I feel like that one, I feel like it'd be decent.
Yeah. Anything else on the booth or no?
No.
I would do the veal loin too. That one, I wish that was gonna be there when we were gonna be there. I would probably try the hibiscus lemonade cocktail. Is that a shock to you or no?
Oh, that's an effort. I said it's frozen. I wouldn't do it with the frozen lemon tea cocktail with Baron Jaeger honey and bourbon.
Yes.
I mean, if it was a steamer day, like when we're going to be there, I actually probably would do that. I'm never a frozen drink anything, but I mean, if I'm sweating, I actually would get that.
I was just looking. I'm trying to find the menu for the full time of the festival. But I can't seem to. Oh, here it is. Oh, this is 2022.
On the side note, if you've already been there and you're trying, if you already tried some of these, comment whatever and let us know
that
was way off and it was not good or. Because we haven't tried it. We're just going what we know, what we like, and what we've kind of seen at Disney. What they typically kind of do good.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Okay, here, I found the full menu. So beginning March 31st through April 27th is a seared scallop, a blueberry buckle, grilled street corn on the cob, still going to be there, and then the two drinks. I would definitely do the seared scallops. That sounds really good.
That's one thing we were talking about, though. Like, seafood's iffy. Because at the last festival, they did mussels.
Yeah, they did mussels, but we didn't try that. One of our friends did, though.
Yeah, that was it, and it wasn't good.
The seared scallop with tomato risotto featuring Ben's original international grains with rice and tomato puree blanc. A blueberry buckle with lemon cream frechet. For summer solstice, when we are there, it's going to be seared pork tenderloin with corn risotto featuring Ben's original international grain rice and roasted red pepper sauce. And a peach galette with...
Giletti?
Yeah, with ginger vanilla whipped cream. That sounds... I would try both of those. I will try both of those when we go. I think that only the seared pork tenderloin is gluten-free, but, you know, you gotta live a little time. Okay, so the next one is the Citrus Blossom. This is located in the Odyssey Pavilion. So this pavilion is always changing. This is right next to the Baby Care Center. They have orange sesame tempura shrimp with orange chili sauce, lemon meringue pie with lemon curd, lemon mousse, and toasted meringue. For beverages, they have an orange lemon smoothie and a souvenir orange bird sipper cup. They have key lime wine slush, a Left Hand Brewing lemon drop shandy, Southern Tier Brewing Company Orange Twist Imperial Ale, Stone Brewing Tangerine Express Hazy IPA, or Beer Flight.
So, personally, I wouldn't even stop at this one.
You wouldn't?
I mean, but if I was going to,
wouldn't try the tempura shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would get the shrimp, and I would do, I mean, all these last four are new, so I'd probably try the Tangerine Express Hazy IPA.
I wonder what the Key Lime Wine Slush is.
If you'll notice, a lot of their beers are all the same. So when you find new ones, you gotta try them.
That's true. And none of these beers are local to Florida, which is interesting because a lot of times Disney, especially at the festival booths, you'll see that they try to have them to, what is it? The brewing company? I can't remember, but there's a brewing company in St. Petersburg that they have a lot of beers from.
So take that back.
What?
I would do the Beer Flight.
Oh, okay.
Every time I talk about doing a Beer Flight, and then I never actually see it, because they have the last thing on the menu.
Beer Flight.
So I pick something now before I get to that, and I'm like, oh, they had a Beer Flight. I could try out all three or four of them. So, yeah, I get the Beer Flight.
Yeah, in this
especially
festival...
Especially because half of them are new.
True. Well, in this festival, I don't know if I would want the Key Lime Wine Slush. I've seen it. I don't know that I want it. But, what I'm excited about this festival is a lot of things are light and springy, and that's what I'm super excited for. I want us to make a list of the things we want to try so we can definitely try them, you know?
So we do now.
I know. Okay, Florida Fresh, which is near Disney Traders, which is at the front of the entrance of World Showcase from, what is that, World? The front of the park. I can't remember all the neighborhood's names. Do you know Ben? Okay.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Florida Fresh has grilled warm lobster tail with key lime butter, a Cubanito with mojo marinated pork belly ham, Swiss cheese, pickles, and stone ground mustard sauce, and a Florida strawberry shortcake. And then they also have...
It's plant-based.
Yeah, plant-based. Beverages are a cucumber watermelon slushy and a cucumber watermelon slushy with gin.
So I would not do the shortcake personally.
I would, and you know that.
Lobster tail, I've already talked about.
I want to try that.
It looks good.
I don't know what a Cubanito is.
I'm sure it's just a knock on a Cuban.
Maybe a small version of a Cuban sandwich.
Swiss pickles. I mean, it's got to be similar. So I would do either one of those. Now, I can't imagine them not being good other than lobster tail not be cooked, overcooked or something. It'd be rubbery. That's what I've heard a lot of the seafood things we're seeing. The cooking of it just overcooked or not cooked enough. So that's the only one I can think of being kind of like, whatever you get, you get.
Yeah. No, I would definitely. I have been wanting. I've been wanting to try the lobster tail, and then the strawberry shortcake. I would try that. The cucumber watermelon slushy with gin sounds good.
We would try the whole menu.
Yeah, the cucumber watermelon slushy with gin sounds really good.
Try it all once.
But I don't know. I'm not super into super sweet drinks, so we'll see. Okay. Jardín de Fiestas, which is the Mexico Pavilion. I always love the Mexico Pavilion's food booth. So this one has flan de guayaba. If I butcher any of these names, just forgive me.
We're from Texas, people.
Flan de guayaba, which is vanilla flan with guava coulis, whipped cream, and fresh fruit. Sopa de Chili Oreo, which is guajillo pepper braised pork on fried corn shells with black beans, shredded cabbage, crema mexicana, queso fresco, and chives. And a tamale de rajas put with poblano peppers, corn and cheese, and masa topped with poblano cream sauce, crema mexicana, pickled carrots, and onions with chives. There's also a lychee margarita, Centinela Blanco tequila, lychee liqueur, citrus juice, and agave nectar, and a floral margarita, which is cherry liqueur, mezcal, hibiscus tea, and lime juice, and craft Mexican lager. I'm just going to say, I think I would try both the Sopa de Chilorio and then the tamale.
What's fun, like, at this one, like, everything is new.
I know.
Everything besides the Mexican craft beer.
Yeah.
Which is, like, Modelo, probably.
And I don't know. I think I would try. I think each of us should get a margarita, and then we'll try each other, and then we'll split it.
That's what we do, and that's, like, a little, not a pro tip, just a tip. You know, if you got two people getting something, just get something different.
Right.
So I would probably get the first, you know, I get the pepper braised pork, and you'd probably get the next.
I would get, yeah, what, the tamale?
Or which one did you say you wanted?
I wanted the sopa.
Oh, sopa. Okay, we'll get that one.
I would try the tamale. I would get both. We could get both and split
typically,
it.
Typically, the Mexican food, it's usually good.
Yeah,
I mean, we're from Texas, we're San Antonio, so we know Mexican food, and, like, it's not the best, but, it, you know, unless certain meats aren't cooked thoroughly, not tender enough or something, right. It's all going to be good.
The, at the festival booth for Mexico last time, we got, it was a crab tostada, and then a... What is it called?
Put a picture.
What is it called? Carne asada. It was carne asada steak and then a crab tostada. But what was cool is the Mexico booth had a hidden margarita. So when we went...
So you had to go find it, like, in the flowers. Like, yeah. This is really deep hidden in there.
When we went with our friend Meg, we met up with our friend Meg that I was talking about earlier one day. And I told her, I was like, we need to try the hidden margarita. So we both got it. And it was so good. When Tony and I went back another day on that trip, we went and got both items again at the festival booth. And we got the hidden margarita.
Hold up. I'm just, you know... Let's just check it out again, make sure what we had.
It was interesting because
way more meat the second time.
Yeah, people say that it's a little different, like, depending on the day you go, depending on the chefs there and stuff like that. And it was.
Like, they have a way bigger scoop of meat on there. I was like, dang, this is like...
The crab.
It looked like a different entree.
Yeah. But either way, the Mexico booths are always really good. I'm super excited. I don't know what lychee is. Lychee liqueur. I don't know what that is. No, it's lychee. L-Y-C-H-E-E. So I say we each get one of the margaritas. Tony always loves mezcal because he says it smells like pirate water. I think I've said that before.
Smoky water.
So we'll get both those. Okay, Lotus House in the China Pavilion. Spicy mala chicken skewer with creamy peanut sauce, house-made cheesy crab wontons, and pan-fried vegetable dumplings. There's also a mono bubble tea, a Dragon Dynasty, which is Bajio Spirit, light rum, dragon fruit, pina colada mix, and soda water. Lucky Peach, which is peach whiskey, oolong tea, honey, lemon juice, and soda water. And a Brew Hub Honey Jasmine Lager Draft B, which is obviously a beer. And then Tropical Moon, which is vodka, triple sec, passion fruit, soda water, and white boba pearls. At this booth, I think I would get the spicy mala chicken skewer. I love peanut sauce. I would probably get that one. That would probably be the only thing I'd get from this booth.
Yeah, I mean, this one actually looks like it has more beverages. Huh?
Yeah.
It's got three entrees. Probably do the dumplings. Like a little grab and go.
Yeah, we've never even stopped at this festival booth before.
And then it has a couple new drinks. Oh, so I'd probably try one, you know, the Lucky Peach.
Can we get the peach whiskey?
I mean, what else? Try everything once.
Yeah, it's got tea in it, but that's interesting.
Like I said, it depends on the time of year. We're gonna be. It's hotter, which we never True. Go. So and may get more things that are like, you know.
We've been when it's hot before.
Once.
Yeah.
So okay. Maybe get something more frozen ish. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, we've never stopped at. We always go to Lotus, the Lotus Blossom Quick Service Restaurant in the China Pavilion. So we've never stopped at the festival booth. So yeah, I want to try that spicy mala chicken skewer. Okay, next up in the Germany Pavilion is Bauernmarkt farmer's market. They have a potato pancake with house-made applesauce, a toasted pretzel bread topped with Black Forest ham and melted Gruyere cheese, and a warm cheese strudel with mixed berries. There is a Bitburger premium pilsner, a Stiegel Brewery Radler, Flunsberger Dunkel, which is a beer, and then a Appenschwein, I just butchered all of that, sparkling wine and apple liqueur.
So this is one personally probably wouldn't stop it.
Yeah, I feel like this one's like a heavier, like these are all heavier items that I probably wouldn't want in warmer weather.
But if I did, potato pancakes.
I figured
so it's like, a apple, it's the whole thing's plant-based?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's because it's just like potatoes and apple. Yeah. And
I'll try that one just to see.
So there's supposed to be a gluten-free beer at this festival. Oh, it's in the Canada thing. What are you doing? Okay. The next one is, I wouldn't get anything from the Germany.
And then the beer flight. You get the beer flight.
Yeah. Normally during Festival of the Arts, I love the, what do we get? It's the braised short rib. We love the braised short rib from the Germany booth. But this one I would skip. Okay. The next one is the Italy Pavilion, which is notorious for not having the best food. It is Primavera Chicken. I'm sorry. Primavera Kitchen is the name of it.
Or just one we never stopped at.
We never stopped at it, but everyone...
A lot
like,
of cheese, right?
Yeah. Well, that one in France. Okay. Oh, they have arrabbiata, which is panada pasta, spicy tomato sauce, and buttery shrimp. Bocconcini, which is mozzarella, bocconcini, grape tomatoes, and pesto sauce. Chocolate cannoli. Chocolate-covered cannoli shell with peanut butter ricotta filling, and quattro formaggio, which is penne pasta, and four cheese sauce. The beverages are Peroni Brewing Peroni Pilsner, a Sauvignon Blanc of Prosecco, Italian Sangria red or white, Italian margarita with limoncello and tequila, and Italian mineral water.
So obviously somebody heard the complaint because every item is new on the food.
True.
I think the last time they had like just like it was like a pasta or like, or I guess it wasn't during Flower and Garden.
It was Festival of the Arts. They had it was like a fried piece of cheese, basically. It was like a flattened cheese stick with like different dipping sauces. Because
they do keep a lot of the same stuff, like Italian margarita. Obviously, these drinks are all the same. I wonder what it's been in this a lot of times. So, but every food entree it says new.
Yeah. From this one, I would get the bocconcini, which is the mozzarella bocconcini, grape tomatoes, and pesto sauce. It's kind of like a caprese salad.
Yeah, pesto sauce. And I will do the next one.
The chocolate cannoli?
No. The penne, spicy, and buttery shrimp.
It sounds like a dish that my mom makes, that
the next
spicy
one
shrimp
is
dish.
Just cheese. Yeah. Cheese pasta. I wouldn't get that.
No. What about the cannoli? You always say you want a cannoli.
And a cannoli and a beer flight.
There's no beer flight there. I don't think I would get anything. I've tried the Italian margarita before. If you're someone who, like, I like, if I'm going to get a drink, I like wine or I like vodka. I'll get, like, vodka and, like, tequila and soda. So this was too sweet for me, the Italian margarita was, but it was something to try nonetheless. Okay. In the American Adventure Pavilion is Magnolia Terrace. They have Bananas Foster bread pudding, muffaletta panini with ham, salami, mortadella, provolone, and Swiss with olive salad, and spicy chicken gumbo with Angeles sausage and long grain wild rice. They also have a Schneider Wise Love Beer, a Urban Artifact Cappy Snacks Fruit Punch Fruit Ale, a Bayou Cocktail with spiced rum, coconut rum, fruit punch and orange juice, and a Parrish Brewing Company Ghost in the Machine Double IPA or a beer flight.
Beer flight, and man, those first two sound good.
The Bananas Foster bread pudding?
No. You're going dessert every time?
No, I'm saying, no. Oh, you're reading off of, you're, oh, which one are you, what are you
yeah,
thinking
I'm
of?
Yeah, I'm not on Disney.
Okay, what are you thinking? What? Oh, the muffaletta?
Yeah, the panini sounds really good, and the gumbo.
I've heard the gumbo is really good.
So that won't be a coin flip.
Yeah, the gumbo is something that's heavier, but still, I would want to try it.
And yeah, they're definitely going to be good.
But I honestly have never had bread pudding before, so the Bananas Foster bread pudding, I don't know. Like, it sounds good. I think I would probably get the spicy chicken gumbo. We'd probably split that from here.
And I keep saying beer flight, but it's funny because like it's 10:25. You're not getting full pours, obviously, but you could try three and... Yeah. And I mean, it's funner.
Yeah.
Every time I see somebody at a beer festival, I'm like, oh, man, I should have done that, you know, because you get a full beer of something. And especially when they have new ones, if there's something new, you've tried them all, that's different, I guess. But, yeah, these are typically half the menus look all new, at least this year.
That's true. Yeah, I would say, like, we never stop at the America booth for
Turkey Legs.
A Festival of the Arts. I don't think we've stopped there for Food and Wine either. Hanami, which is in the Japan Pavilion, has a ramen cup, ramen salad shaken in a cup with fresh vegetables, grilled chicken and dashi broth with chili oil and yuzu, a steamed bun filled with vegetables and plant-based soy meat, frushi, which is kind of like an Epcot staple. It's strawberry, pineapple, and lychee wrapped in coconut rice and pink soy wrap, served with whipped cream, drizzled strawberry raspberry sauce, and toasted coconut. There's also a watermelon strawberry lemonade, which is non-alcoholic, Ichigo Breeze cocktail, sake with strawberry and watermelon, Orange Blossom Brewing Company, Cherry Blossom Green Tea Pilsner, and Ozeki Pineapple Nigori Sake.
I think we should have done this whole thing on beverages there, because I've never seen so many new ones. The entire beverage menu is new in that. We don't ever stop at, like, these pavilions over here.
Yeah, we do.
Is this China?
No, Japan.
Oh, Japan.
I used to get the sushi donut.
Really, yeah, that one's been the same for farts and...
Well, no, it's a sushi donut. This is fruit sushi.
So I would probably do... We'd probably get a couple things here.
I would get the ramen cup.
That's what I was going to get, the ramen cup, and then it's the bao bun, is the steamed bun?
Yeah, but it says with vegetables and plant-based soy meat.
Yeah, so we wouldn't get that one. For us, it would be the ramen cup.
Yeah, just the ramen cup. I think I would just get the ramen cup here. I don't know, that pineapple nigori sake, though, sounds good, but $10 for the pineapple nigori sake.
We would do a sake, too. You have to.
Okay. The next one is in the Morocco Pavilion. This is Tangerine Cafe, Flavors of the Medina. So everybody calls it Tangerine Cafe.
Prove it.
But it is Tangerine.
Fact check.
I heard that on something. And I was like, wait, why does everybody say that? Unless they were wrong. Anyway, I call it Tangerine Cafe. So the food menu items here are grilled kebabs with carrot chickpea salad and garlic aioli. They have lamb kefta and chermoula chicken. They also have a Mediterranean flatbread with chermoula, roasted vegetables, artichokes, olives, and feta cheese, and orange blossom saffron cake. They also have, for drinks, they have a Keel's Farm pear honeysuckle hard cider, a Woodchuck Imperial sippin' citrus hard cider, Three Daughters Brewing pomegranate hard cider from St. Petersburg, a cider flight, and a pomegranate mimosa. We love... I feel like this is such an underrated location.
The kebabs they have, like, year-round.
They're so good.
With every event, it seemed like, and they're good. So we've got both those. Those are really good. And the flatbread's new, so I would try that one. No meat on it? All right, that's fine. I'll still get it. And then you had the cake last time, I think, right?
Same cake. I didn't have any cake. I had a drink there. I had it was like a chai mint tea mimosa.
Yeah, this one's like, it's not tucked in there, but I feel like nobody goes there.
Yeah, so it's not, most of the booths when you're at Epcot, they're going to be out in front of the pavilions. This is actually in a location. Tangerine Cafe used to be a quick service location. Now it just serves like all the festival foods. The grilled kebabs are so good. There's never really anybody in there when we go either.
It doesn't matter what time of day. And like, is it obviously seating's like a gold mine in Disney. And we've always like had somewhere to sit no matter what. There's only like 8 tables. We've always had a table to sit at too.
The carrot chickpea salad is really good. Like I said, like those skewers, like we love getting those. We definitely get those. I think that would probably be the only thing that I would get from here. But that sounds really, really, really good. I don't know, that orange blossom saffron cake sounds good, but I already said a couple of desserts, so I'm not like a huge dessert person.
New ciders they have, sipping citrus hard cider.
I was talking about how some of the beers are typically like local to Florida. So the Keel Farms pear honeysuckle hard cider, that's from Plant City, Florida. And then the Three Daughters Brewing pomegranate hard cider, that's one from St. Petersburg. So it's the Three Daughters Brewing Company beers that are St. Petersburg. Okay, next one is
We're not partial to this one, though, but just, you know. Like
what?
This
Morocco?
This outdoor kitchen, but indoor.
Oh, yeah, because Tangerine Cafe is indoor. Okay, La Isla Fresca is between Morocco and France. This location has impossible Jamaican beef patty with spicy papaya syrup, a coconut tres leches, vanilla cake soaked with oat, almond, and coconut milks with toasted coconut. They have a tropical slush, which is lemonade, grapefruit, and simple syrup. A Wicked Weed Brewing Mango Wowsy Hazy IPA.
Somebody stop me.
Yeah. Wicked Weed Brewing Mango Wowie Hazy IPA with mango from Asheville, North Carolina. And then a Florida Orange Groves Winery Tropical Perception White Sangria from St. Petersburg. And a Tropical Breeze with Don Q Limon Rum.
Good Lord. So here I wouldn't get anything food-wise.
No,
I would get a
drink. Either.
The thing I'm noticing, though, I feel like they have way more plant-based
stuff. I was going to say.
So, like, if you're looking for that, like, every booth has something, I think.
So Disney used to have all the gluten-free items on there, and they don't anymore, but they list the plant-based items.
Yeah, because the only thing they have, or both of them are plant-based.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're plant-based, you got something everywhere.
Yeah.
I would get the Hazy IPA, which is with mango, the new drink they have.
Yeah. I don't know that Tropical Perception White Sangria sounds good. I used to love sangria. I don't ever get sangria anymore, so I probably wouldn't. But, okay, next one is Fleur de Lis, which is in the France Pavilion. We have never stopped here because it's always a bunch of cheese and bread. But we would like to. So I can't pronounce any of the French names. But they have compote with fruit rouge, which is warm cake filled with lemon lavender and thyme-infused cream served with berry compote, a pulled duck confit with orange sauce and garlic rosemary mashed potatoes, caramelized beignet filled with vanilla cream and glazed with caramel fleur de lis, or caramel fleur de sel, and a croissant with goat cheese, herbs, and roasted garlic. For drinks, they have Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley, a Krogenberg Blanc 1664 draft beer, a rosé frozen slush, which is vodka, Grey Goose, L'Orange, Saint-Germain liqueur, white and red cranberry juices, and then a sparkling raspberry cocktail, which is sparkling wine and raspberry flavor.
Yeah, like they have everything first, and then here's English.
Yeah.
Here's how you get here's what it really is. No, but I would do the duck. Because I've had duck once in the past year.
Yeah, wasn't it Aunt Dizzy?
No, it was at our anniversary dinner.
Yeah. Our engagement anniversary dinner.
So I would try it. It's a new too, so I want to try it and see how it matches up to what I've had before. Because it has a mashed potatoes too, of course. Rosemary mashed potatoes. And that's probably it.
I would maybe try the Sauvignon Blanc. Something that I used to do when we were at Disney, I didn't do it this last trip, but I used to, like, when we would go to each country, I would try to get, like, wine or a drink from that country. So, like, when we were in the Africa section of Animal Kingdom, I would get a red wine from Africa, which is really good. And then if you ask them for ice, they'll put ice in it for you. And the guy was like, no shame in that because it's hot outside. So I would maybe try the Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley, like, get something from the France booth. I don't know. Okay, next one is the Northern Bloom Canada Pavilion. Beef tenderloin tips, mushroom bordelaise sauce in whipped potatoes with garden vegetables, seared scallops with French green beans, butter, potatoes, brown butter vinaigrette, and a chocolate maple whiskey cake. They have a Collective Arts Brewing Beyond Reason Micro Pale Ale, Collective Arts Brewing Grapefruit Lime Sour, Florida Orange Grove Sparkling Blackberry Wine, and a Glutenberg Blonde Ale, and a beer flight. So, as a side note, the Glutenberg Blonde Ale is actually a gluten-free beer.
I was noticing, like, it's warmer time of year, and a lot of these are kind of heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you mean, like, the drinks?
No, like, just the food.
Oh, from like the Canada Pavilion?
Like, well, in general, like, a lot of mashed potatoes and, like, meats and stuff. So, like, if you're sweating through the park, a lot of stuff, that, I mean, like, we talked about last time we were there, like, I'm going to get something completely different if it's at the end of the night when it's cool.
Right.
Versus 80, 90 degrees in the middle of the day. I wouldn't get half of this stuff, you know?
That's why you can kind of pick.
It's not good, but, you know.
Yeah, that's why you can kind of pick from. Like, I wouldn't get anything from the France Pavilion just because it seems heavier to me. But, yeah, it just kind of depends. The Canada Pavilion, like, I think that the beef tenderloin tips sound really good. The seared scallops sound really good. I want to try the seared scallops.
We'd probably get this whole menu.
I want to try the seared scallops. We wouldn't get the whiskey cake, I don't think.
Yeah, I would try that.
Okay.
Like I said, all depending on the climate.
But I would want to try the sparkling blackberry wine. I think that sounds really good. That's from St. Petersburg, too. Next up is the Trowel and Trellis, which is hosted by Impossible. This booth is going to be all plant-based. It's near the Port of Entry. The new item this year is chocolate mousse terrarium with matcha crumble and chocolate soil. I've seen that and it looks really cute in pictures. I like matcha, so I wouldn't be afraid of that, but a lot of people don't like matcha. Impossible farmhouse meatball with lentil bread, spinach, marinated vegetables, and creamy herb aioli. A soy glazed sticky ribs with green onions and peanuts. And then their drinks are going to be raspberry and lemon herbal tea with Twinning Raspberry and Lemon Herbal Tea and Simply Lemonade, Surreal Brewing Company Natural Bridges Kolsch Style Non-Alcoholic Beer, Brew Hub Strawberry Heatwave Berliner, and a Raspberry and Lemon Herbal Tea with Gin.
So I would get the sticky ribs.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these booths have more alcohol than food.
So what's interesting, though, is this booth is hosted by Impossible, but there's actually...
one thing?
Yeah. There's one thing here that's plant-based, which is interesting, because it doesn't say that the soy glazed sticky ribs are plant-based. So
yeah, this is the one right up across from Starbucks.
Yeah, or where Starbucks used to be. Yeah. I think that this, I don't know, I've heard that the chocolate mousse terrarium is good, maybe if I was in the mood for it. But other than that, like, yeah, I think the sticky ribs would probably be it. The next one is the Honey Bistro hosted by National Honey Board near Port of Entry. So this is going to be at the front of the World Showcase. Chicken and waffles, crispy chicken and a honey sweet cornbread waffle with whipped honey butter and spicy honey. Honey glazed cauliflower with honey roasted carrot puree, wild rice pilaf, spring vegetables, honey blistered grapes, and sunflower brittle. The beverages are honey peach cobbler freeze with streusel, a Copper Point Brewing Company's Bees Squeeze Blonde Ale, Florida Orange Groves Winery Orange Blossom Honey Wine, and a honey peach freeze with blueberry vodka and streusel.
So we've seen a picture of the chicken waffles, so that one looks good.
Yes. Good with that one. And sure. I think that the honey glazed cauliflower is the thing I'm most excited for at the festival.
And that one's in the both snack eligible, and I would probably get the Copper Point Brewing Company Bees Squeeze Blonde Ale, brand new.
Yeah, I would maybe try the Florida Orange Groves Winery Orange Blossom Honey Wine. I don't know. I think, you know, like when we say, like, we look at all these menus and stuff, we're like, oh yeah, we're going to get that. And then we get there. And like you said, it just depends on the, like, on the time of year or on the weather.
What we ate before.
Yeah, and we're obviously not really, like, drinking as much, like, with the girls. But, okay. Next one is Pineapple Promenade near Port of Entry. This one has a spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney and plantain chips in a Dole Whip. They also have frozen dessert, violet lemonade, Dole Whip with Fanta, Coppertone Brewing Company's Tropical Hibiscus Blonde Ale, Wicked Weed Brewing, Perny Haze, Hazy IPA, Three Daughters Brewing, Tropical Hefe, Dole Whip topped with Somas Mango Cream Liqueur, a Florida Orange Groves Winery Sparkling Pineapple Wine, a Playa Linda Brewing Company Violet Lemonade Ale, and a Pineapple Beer Flight.
What do you think I would get?
Yes. The spicy hot dog?
No, I'm going to get the Dole Whip, this plant-based Dole Whip.
Dole Whip's always plant-based.
This is a no-brainer. We already know. You get the Dole Whip, I'll get the hot dog. And
no, I would get the hot dog too. I've heard it's actually really good. Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
So she gave up on Dole Whips for the first trip.
No, I actually ate a Dole Whip for breakfast last trip.
Yeah, you did.
I would get...
That's what happens when you're hangry.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything to eat, so I ate a Dole Whip.
Had to just settle for a Dole Whip.
No. I would probably get the Dole Whip. I mean, but you can get Dole Whip in other parks. So if you're going to Disney World and you see the Dole Whip at Epcot, you don't have to get it here. They have it in Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. Now the only park that doesn't have Dole Whip is going to be Hollywood Studios. So I would say the spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney. If you're gluten-free, just get it with no bun. Everything else on that is gluten-free. I know that. Okay, last one. The Land Cart hosted by Advent Help, the Land Pavilion. It has an acai parfait with Greek yogurt, fresh berries, and granola, roasted red pepper hummus with cucumbers, olives, and multigrain crackers, and a strawberry fruit bar. And then they have a Florida smoothie, which is pineapple, orange, and mango.
So I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it on the list.
So this one, actually, I haven't seen it.
I wouldn't get anything here, but if I did, it'd probably be hummus.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably the hummus. This is at the land cart, you know, like the cart outside of the land pavilion. That's where this is located. So Disney threw it in here. I haven't heard anybody like necessarily so like, talking about it. Yeah. So I don't know.
That's considered an outdoor kitchen.
That's kind of all of the booths. In addition to that, if you are going and you want to try, Joffrey's always has like, they always have like special drinks for the festivals. Like it's an iced honey jasmine latte, citrus frosted iced tea, tropical frosted iced tea, or iced berry chai latte. And then there's also a refreshment outpost, which is between the China and the Germany pavilion. And they have a seasonal fruit parfait with sweet chili sauce and mango Dole Whip. They also have an ice cream float with soft serve and Barq's red cream soda and a tangerine soft serve. Would you get anything from there? Oh, and then they have Crooked Can Brewing Sorpresa Picante Pale Ale Winter Garden. Oh, it's from Winter Garden. Sweetwater Brewing Company Half a Gummy Fruit Punch IPA, Woodchuck 802 Barrel Aged Hard Cider, and a Lavender Martini, Boyd & Blair Potato Vodka with Lavender and Lemon.
I mean, not. Yeah. Maybe try any drink or something, but not really.
I had seen the seasonal fruit parfait on like online, and I mean, it's got sweet chili sauce and mango Dole Whip. Like, it sounded really good, but I probably wouldn't get it.
Overall, this whole menu of the entire showcase, like, I don't see much of it being that worth it, you know? Like,
no.
Unless a seafood item or something was, you know, overcooked or, you know, like, what we've heard and seen and the new stuff, I don't think there's going to be much that you're not going to like here.
Yeah, the last one is at Refreshment Port. So these last three that I've talked about are locations that are here all year round. At Connections Eatery, they have a hot honey chicken sandwich with southern fried chicken sandwich with hot honey and pickles on a brioche bun and an orange burr liege waffle and a blood orange hibiscus margarita. Actually, that may be calling my name. Terramina tequila with hibiscus and blood orange syrup and orange juice. That's at Connections Eatery, which is going to be, located at the front of the park. The Joffrey's Coffee and Tea Companies, those are kiosks throughout the park. And then the Refreshment Outpost is, like I said, between the China and Germany Pavilion. The last one is the Refreshment Port, which is near Canada Pavilion. They always have a type of poutine. This one is a plant-based buffalo chicken tender poutine on crispy potato barrels with plant-based ranch and blue cheese crumbles. And they have a Country Boy Brewing Orange Cream Hard Cider, Frozen Mojito with Boyd & Blair Rum, and a Villa Maria Earth Garden Sauvignon Blanc.
Dang, like I said, especially if you're a drinker, like, half the menus do, and more than half the menu is drinks.
Alcohol,
they have, like, one or two items on a lot of these menus, and then they have, like, three to five drinks. So, definitely ready for a hot day.
Yeah, I would say, like, so Tony has kind of, like, beef with, like, so they say it's poutine, but it's crispy. It's tater tots. And
no, it's fries.
No, I know, but Disney is saying it's a plant-based buffalo chicken tender poutine on crispy potato barrels. But that's not poutine. Poutine or fries.
Yeah.
Tony was saying the other day, would you like to talk about your poutine place quick?
At Disney Springs.
Yeah.
So it's outside World of Disney.
Yes.
And it's always in a rotating, not rotating, but there's always new. There's about three or four different ones every single time. First time we tried it was last time. Always talked about it. Huge amount of food. I got like an Asian chicken.
You got Korean barbecue.
Anyway, really good. I'd recommend that one and skip this one.
Yeah. And then one more thing to do at Festival of the Arts Flower and Garden Festival. With all of these booths, they have the Garden Grays. So what this is you get to take a walk on like a delicious side and enjoy a surprise at the end of the journey. So what you'll do is you would go get a festival passport and then you'll use the festival passport inside of it. There's going to be like a map and it'll have like the Garden Grays items included on it. So you have to try 5 Garden Grays items. For most of the festivals, I believe they have to each be different. For this one, you could do 5 of the same items over again, and you get a stamp at each booth for them. And then you'll bring that festival booth to the Pineapple Promenade where you get a specialty treat. So it's going to be a lime Dole Whip in a smoothie cup for this festival. If you're going to Epcot more than one day, you could participate in this, and you could just bring it back and like complete it on a couple of different days. So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Everybody's hungry. We're going to go eat.
Yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode. This is a longer episode than usual, but it was requested to do this. So please keep your podcast episode request coming in. And please give us a follow on the Double Dose of Disney Fam on both Instagram and TikTok. I am posting like mini vlogs and stuff like that from our last trip every day over on TikTok and sharing them over on Instagram too. And please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform that goes so far to help us continue growing our audience. We will see you right back here next time.